Chapter 19. Joshua was stuck in a nightmare, dumped on the ground, blood in mouth, dirt under cheek, being rolled on his back to a flood of pain from his leg, being handled like a doll in the hands of some coarse idiot child, limbs pulled this way and that, when he struggled feebly, more hands pressing him down. Huge figures all around him, black-haired bodies glimpsed through a film of blood, all of it suffused with agony. Pass out, wake up, pass out again. He lived this over and over. The nightmare lasted for days. He came back to himself slowly, bit by bit. He lay there and let it happen. After all, what choice did he have? He thought of the jigsaw puzzles he used to dig out of the back of cupboards at the home, battered old relics in torn boxes depicting scenes of worlds that had vanished before he had been born, range riders in the Old West, Mercury astronauts in silver spacesuits, lost dreams. Working alone, sometimes for hours on end, he'd painstakingly sort the pieces into their categories, corners, edges, bits with sky or sea or silver spacesuit fabric, edges with sky or sea or spacesuit silver. You just had to be patient, one piece at a time, and slowly, slowly the picture would emerge. And the more of the picture you got, the more you were going to get. Spacesuit silver. He wondered why he was thinking of that. It was dark, then it was light. Days passing. It would soon be fall, he thought, on this world as on all the worlds of the long earth. Soon the days would be getting shorter, colder. Nothing he could do about that now. He just had to endure. A dull ache in the leg was his constant companion, and he fretted about the state of the break. Also his trousers ripped to pieces. He always had been lousy at sewing. That made him want to laugh, but his chest hurt. The sky above him was the first part of the puzzle to come clear. A blue sky with scattered cloud. And the air was cooler than he remembered. Was it that much later in the year? How long had he been lying here? He smelled dirt and the dense animal musk of trolls and heard running water. No sign of humanity, not even the smell of a campfire. He was still out in the high megas. Nobody had come. Nobody had found him then. He had no idea whether he was even still in the world where he had made his stockade. The troll face looming over him seemed to come out of nowhere. He flinched back. The troll, startled, ducked back too, only to return more circumspectly, curiously. This was a young animal he saw now, very young, a cub, its rounded face a mask of thick black fur, its features still babyish, almost human-looking if you ignored the beard. This certainly wasn't the older troll that had saved him after he'd been run down by the baby elephant with a mask like a Star Wars stormtrooper. He remembered now. And the mother, who'd carelessly stomped on him.
Who?
The troll moved abruptly, approaching him again. Lying in the dirt, helpless, Joshua cringed back from the fast, determined motions of this powerful young animal. And he was an animal, after all. Joshua had to force himself not to step out. He had to believe he was better off here than anywhere else. And besides, the trolls would probably just step after him. Suddenly there was a hand behind his head, a strong, hairy paw lifting him. Another hand before his face, cupped, with a splash of water in the palm. Joshua reflexively opened his mouth, and the water spilled in, more than he'd expected, gritty and cold. He gagged, but determined, he swallowed. Then he was dropped with a thump that sent a fresh wave of pain shooting up from a battered body.
Who?
An adult troll lumbered across his field of view and away. As Joshua lay there, gasping, he started to sense more trolls moving around him. Of course, there would be more trolls. A youngster like that wouldn't be alone. Now he heard their massive movements, their leathery feet scuffing in the dirt. a few snatches of song, like samples of an opera in Klingon. "Well," he said. His own voice sounded odd, very scratchy. His mouth felt para-Venusian dry. "I sure could do with another sip of that water." As if in response, another troll loomed over him. This was an adult, a big male, not old. It wasn't Sancho. The male peered curiously into Joshua's eyes and poked his cheek, hard enough to hurt. "Ow!
Who?"
He raised Joshua up, a little more gently this time, to a half-sitting position. Joshua glimpsed the young troll behind the male, and a female standing there, looking on with what seemed like curiosity, if not concern. Beside her was another cub, what looked like a female to Joshua, though with all that black fur it was hard to tell the sex, even with the adults. She clung to the leg of the adult female, as if she was shy. This could be a family. He knew that trolls in the wild could be monogamous, with little family groups sticking together within the larger bands of dozens or more. As far as he knew, nobody was sure if the adult males in each family actually were the biological fathers of the offspring they cared for. All this was set against a nondescript background, a dusty plain, a small copse with fruit bushes sprouting at its periphery, what sounded like a stream flowing not far away. Good country if you were a troll. Joshua could still be in the world where he'd started building his stockade, or he could be far away. Wham! Without warning, food was rammed into his mouth, a slab of bloody meat, some kind of vegetable. The adult male was feeding him, roughly, but it felt like he'd been punched, and his mouth was suddenly so full he thought he would choke. He raised his hand and managed to yank out the bulk of the food. He dropped the meat in the dirt. It could be raw elephant for all he knew. But then, more cautiously, he picked up the vegetables, a broken-up root like raw potato, something green and tangled, something else soft and red, a kind of fruit. As he began to chew on the root, he felt ravenously hungry. "My compliments on the side salad." The big male, still supporting him, tried to stuff more food into his mouth, but Joshua blocked the move, and instead picked out manageable chunks from the male's offering with his own hand. The female with the two cubs crept closer, watching him. He was aware, too, of a wider band, more trolls at the edge of his vision, staring curiously. It struck him that maybe they weren't used to seeing humans as old as he was. "I'm grateful," he said, around chunks of food, still chewing. "I don't know how I got here. I guess my buddy Sancho dumped me on you, and I don't see him around anywhere." He sighed. "But I have a feeling I'm going to be imposing on you a while longer. And I can't call you adult male or non-specific gender cub. You're Patrick," he pointed to the adult. "You, the mother, you're Sally. I knew a Sally once. The boy is Matt, the girl is Liz. Where the hell did I get those names?" He shook his head. He pointed to his own chest. "And I'm Joshua Valiente. Look me up in the long call." Then he plucked up his courage and, moving with caution, looked down at his damaged leg for the first time. To his huge relief, it looked straight, more or less. His trousers were, however, shredded even worse than he remembered. The leg wasn't splinted, of course, or bandaged, and from the waves of pain he felt as he moved, he evidently hadn't been treated with anything resembling an anesthetic. But if he could get the leg healed enough that he could stand unaided, and if he stayed alive, he had a reasonable prospect of stepping back to some inhabited world, and once back at Valhalla or a low Earth, he could get some decent corrective surgery. If... He looked into the faces of the watching trolls. Patrick's face crumpled quizzically. "Oh, for a troll call. Look, I suspect you saved my life. Thank you." Suddenly a wave of nausea caused his stomach to clench. He rolled away from Patrick, the adult male, despite flares of pain from his leg, and painfully vomited the half-chewed meal he'd consumed. Then he sat back, cradled in Patrick's arms once again. Waves of heat pulsed through his body, his head.
Shit. I got infected. No surprise, I guess.
Beyond Sally, he saw a flash of spacesuit silver in the dirt. He squinted, cursing elderly eyes, trying to see more clearly, trying to sit up. The silver scrap was an emergency blanket. Heaped in the dirt beside it, he made out other gear. His desert camouflage pack, his outer coat, his aerogel mattress, his sleeping bag, the glint of his knives. It looked like Sancho had had the wit to empty out his stockade and bring his stuff here. Again, his chances of living through this had just got incrementally better.
Sancho, you're my hero.
Huh?
And spacesuit silver. I knew there had to be a reason that was bugging me. I guess I saw it out of the corner of my half-asleep eye. Patrick, help me. Please bring over all that stuff.
It took some anxious sign language to get the message across. It was the male cub, Matt, in fact, who got it first, and soon the family were working together to lug over the gear. The human artifacts looked tiny in their big hands. By now, Joshua was starting to feel dizzy, nauseous, and seriously thirsty. He tried to prioritize, to do what he needed to do before the incoming tide of delirium rolled over him. First, he gathered all the gear under the survival blanket for protection from the weather. Then he dug a small radio transmitter out of his pack, set it in the sunlight for power, and started it broadcasting shortwave radio pleas for assistance. If anybody happened to come through this world, they ought to hear it, if they were listening, unlike most comas these days, and if they could be bothered to help. A long shot, but better than none. Then he found some antibiotics and gobbled them down dry. He was almost finished. He found it hard to concentrate, but there was one more big job he needed to get done before he succumbed to the darkness. Patrick and Matt were still here, father and son, curiously poking at the heap of gear. He grabbed their arms and made them look at him.
I need to fix my leg. If I roll around while I'm ill, I could snap the damn bone again. And with a splint, the chances of it healing straight are much better.
He rummaged through his pack.
I have this elasticized bandage. I'll show you what to do, but I need you to bring me some planks, timbers, straight branches.
He was babbling. They were staring at him entirely without comprehension. He went into a sign language pantomime, grabbing a couple of twigs from the ground nearby and pressing them against his leg, gesturing at the forest clump. Again, it was Matt who got the idea first, and Joshua wondered if he'd had some exposure to humans before. It seemed to take forever for them to find and bring over a couple of suitable branches. Joshua chugged a pep pill to stay conscious a little longer. He considered sacrificing one of his precious ampoules of morphine. No, he'd survived without that so far. He had no idea what was yet to come before he got out of here. When Patrick started wrapping the bandages tight around the splinted leg, the pain was astounding, even compared to what had gone before. It wasn't just the superhuman strength, but his careless rough handling that made it so bad. Patrick, Joshua knew, was doing his best. Joshua managed to sit up and pushed and prodded, trying to make sure the bandages weren't too tight. That way lay a dead leg and gangrene. At last he lay back and spat out the bit of wood he'd clamped between his teeth.
Okay, it's my fault, Agnes. You warned me.
His words dissolved into a scream as Patrick put the big muscles of his back into yanking the bandage.
I asked for it. My bad, okay? Just make it stop. Make it stop!